Welcome back. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Mark Steiner. You're listening to your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. That's Flashlight by Parliament. George Clinton of Parliament was born on this day in 1941. That was something. I obviously don't remember Flashlight, but I've heard it before. Y'all can believe that if you want to. Anyway, welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. We have an incredible hour and a half for you coming up as we have a conversation about the relationship of Republican Governor Larry Hogan and the city of Baltimore. Some people feel like this administration has forgotten the city of Baltimore when it comes to transportation. The Red Line has really revved up a lot of people in the governor's decision on the Red Line, the Purple Line, education funding, and we're going to cover a whole lot of other issues as well. We want to hear from you, of course, 410-319-8888. What do you think about the governor's decisions, his relationships with the Democratic leadership of our city, with the residents of the city? You can tweet us at Mark Steiner, comment on our Facebook page, or send us an email at talk@steinershow.org. Of course, call in with your comments and opinions, 410-319-8888. In the studio with me, Dr. Ronnie Ellington, Associate Professor of Mathematics Education at Morgan State University. Dr. Ellington, always great to be with you.
Good to be with you, too.
Charles Robinson joins us. He's a political and business correspondent for Maryland Public Television, no stranger to the Steiner Show. Charles Robinson, great to have you on board by phone.
Always good to be with you, Anthony.
Eugene Craig III, grassroots activist, third vice chair of the Maryland Republican State Party. Eugene, welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. It's always fun.
Again, call us. What do you think about the governor's relationship, the governor's recent political and legislative decisions regarding the city of Baltimore? 410-319-8888. Dr. Ellington, you're in the studio. I'm going to give you the opening comments. Give me some overall thoughts. The legislative session took place. A lot of Baltimore legislators said they had a relationship, having conversations with the governor. But then it seemed like many of his decisions just didn't go in Baltimore's favor. And I mentioned education funding, but certainly his decision on the funding for the Red Line.
I'm really surprised people were really up in arms over. I read about four or five articles last night just discussing that. Well, you know, we were joking before the show starts saying, you know, in order for you to forget something, you have to remember it, right? So there has to be. And I said, well, it's hard to forget a relationship when you're not necessarily indebted to that particular person for where you are. So I don't necessarily know how the voting split occurred, but I don't think he carried Baltimore as strongly maybe as he carried some of the other counties that are getting transportation funding. I looked at the list and some people are getting some nice things. So to imply, so the first piece is to imply that there was a forgetting about Baltimore would imply that there really was a remembering at some point and some allegiance to the citizens. And I'm not suggesting that he doesn't have this general notion of caring about what happens in Baltimore, but, you know, people tend to what do they say? Grab to the people that feed them, or like people who fed you, you give back. I don't know the colloquialism offhand, but he's securing his next election with those people, in my opinion, not like the truth, but he's being a smart politician in terms of limited funding, making decisions that will make certain people happy and that may garner him a second term, which most Republicans, has any Republican done? Did Ehrlich do too?
He did one term.
He did one term. So, yeah, it could be that. So
Charles Robinson, you were there on the ground for the legislative session. But even before that, Larry Hogan campaigned hard in the city of Baltimore, and it paid off for a Republican. About 30%, I think, if I recall correct, of the votes in the city went to Governor Larry Hogan. He said he was open to a relationship with the Democratic legislators who represent this city. Give me your thoughts on some of the recent decisions and the current relationship as it's perceived and the reality of the city with Governor Larry Hogan's administration?
So let me talk about the reality first, and that is he holds the reins of power.
Yeah.
And he can dictate the terms, and he has pretty much done that. Let me also say that, you know, people's egos get bruised in this political process.
See, he said it better than I did.
That was a great way to say that, Charles. Go ahead.
And part of it was is that the governor was very upset that the legislature didn't take up part of his budgetary issues during the legislative session. And not that that's a precursor to what he did in this session, in the last 2 days and weeks, if you will. But he came to the simple conclusion that I think that you have to look at the politics of things. And one was that the rural counties supported the governor, and the governor said quite succinctly that he wanted to move away from public transportation and move to more road construction. And that's what he did. Now, during his rollout of the purple and the red line, I did ask him the question about, you know, I'm looking at your map, Governor, and I don't see any money going to the city of Baltimore. Would you like to refute your critics? And, of course, he came back with we've spent more money in Baltimore than we've ever had. Now, let me get to the politics. The politics is that essentially he's got nothing to lose. He's got nothing to lose at this point because essentially he can say, I think, and it's great politics to say, you know, Baltimore has the great sucking sound of money going to it and we're not getting results. And that's a real simple way to answer those folks who don't like the governor. And he can say, look, I'm giving you millions and millions of dollars. Tell me what I've gotten for it. And that's the reality on the ground. As it relates to what it does in a larger perspective, I don't expect him. He will, as we like to say, he smiles nicely. Unfortunately, he has an illness that he's dealing with, and that gives him a lot of love.
Oh, it sure does.
All across the state. But guess what? This is Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Let me get Eugene Craig in real quick. We have about a minute before I have to go to the break, Eugene, and we'll come back to you after the break. But give me your thoughts on the relationship. Charles just mentioned something very interesting. The map for transit didn't even have the city of Baltimore on it.
Well, you know, looking at the map, you know, I don't think this is a red county, blue county thing, being at Prince George's County and Montgomery County, which are, you know, two of the, you know, top four bluest counties in our state. You know, they were, you know, they got something out of the transportation deal. The governor ran on improving the roads in the state. Most of the, all of the projects are highway projects. You know, most of the local roads are funded by local tax dollars and local governments. And, you know, I don't think this is a matter of giving kickbacks to red counties over blue counties or anything like that. It's simply coming through on a promise. You know, the red line, you know, they're looking for alternatives to the red line. But, you know, first and foremost, you have to have a partner. And we have folk like Catherine Pugh, you know, standing stern saying, you know, we don't want an alternative. We want this. You know, that's not much you can work with.
Eugene Craig III, we're going to go to a break. I want to hear from you. I read so much in the days after the governor's decision on transit spending in the city of Baltimore. A lot of activists very upset about the red line. 410-319-8888. That's the number. The Mark Steiner Show brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. More information at www.mecumeq.com. I'm Anthony McCarthy, in for Mark Steiner, and you're listening to The Mark Steiner Show. We have to take a very quick break. On our way to the break, we're hearing Be My Baby by the Ronettes. Estelle Bennett of the Ronettes was born on this day in 1944. We'll be right back.
Be my baby now.
Welcome back. I'm Anthony McCarthy, sitting in for Mark Steiner. You're listening to your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. That's Have You Seen Her by the Chi Lights. Eugene Record of the Chi Lights died on this day in 2005. Welcome back to the Mark Steiner Show. We are discussing Governor Larry Hogan's relationship with the city of Baltimore. Does he even have a relationship? Is that a priority to him? He's made some decisions when it comes to education funding that got a lot of people's attention. His decision that he would like to see 63 public safety jobs abolished got a lot of people's attention. But I'm here to tell you the red line really got people jazzed up when a decision was made that funding would not occur for the red line. The purple line, I think, is on track for some funding, but right now it has been put on hold. We want to hear from you, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Are you one of those folks who believe that the governor is making a good decision with the state's dollars and that Baltimore has gotten a lot of funding from Democratic governors, Martin O'Malley, William Donald Schaefer, and others? Or do you believe that Baltimore is not even on his mind? 410-319-8888. Eugene Craig III joins us by telephone. He's a grassroots activist, third vice chair of the Maryland Republican State Party. Dr. Ronnie Ellington's in the studio with me, associate professor of mathematics education at Morgan State University, and Charles Robinson, veteran journalist extraordinaire, one of my mentors, political and business correspondent for the Maryland Public Television. Welcome you all to the Anthony McCarthy Show. I knew that was going to happen. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show. I'm sitting in for Mark Steiner this morning. So before we begin, we got a bunch of callers on the line we're going to bring in to this conversation. Eugene, I want to ask you, you mentioned funding for Prince George's County, Montgomery County. You said nothing to do with red or blue. But isn't it a fact that historically, a lot of legislators from Prince George's County, Montgomery County, other parts of our state felt that Baltimore was too much of a priority? They saw a lot of spending coming to the city of Baltimore. It makes sense to me when we talk about ego that a lot of folks would be pretty happy that Baltimore seems to be at the bottom of the list.
Well, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not privy to those discussions or conversations.
I understand.
I don't know too many legislators from Prince George's and Montgomery County. I know we don't have any on our side at the state level. But when talking about from the framework of it being a, you know, looking out for Republican counties or Democrat counties, the second biggest project is in Prince George's County. You know, it's a $135 million project. Revamping the Greenbelt Metro Station, the whole access road there, which is, you know, I guess, which I believe is our largest metro station, our most widely used metro station in the state. When you talk about, you know, the governor's not necessarily opposed to public transportation. The governor is for smart public transportation. And the red line would not have been a smart deal for the state of Maryland. I think that, you know, you can have a project, but you have to have a way to, one, fund the project, the project's construction, and also the project's maintenance.
Well, let me ask, before we go to the phones, I want to get Dr. Ellington and Charles Robinson in. Charles, you mentioned record funding. The governor said, look, I've spent a lot of money, record spending, in the city of Baltimore. Don't use this transit funding as a barometer of my attention to the city. Is that a fact, record spending on the city of Baltimore?
He has put more money in than any other governor, but that's call it the function of how government grows and how population centers grow. One of the things that, you know, governor has made a point, and he's put it on signs, is that Maryland's open for business. Whether you like it or not, Baltimore, the hub of Baltimore, from the port to businesses and so on and so forth, this is where business is growing. And don't get me wrong, I love Western Maryland. I like going out to Deep Creek Lake to Frostburg because my son goes to school there. And I also go down to the shore. But let me just suggest to you that those places aren't building new businesses. They've got a lot of small businesses, But the business grows in Baltimore. And if you don't put money into Baltimore, it becomes an impediment. Now, the Washington metro area, which has the Prince George's and the Montgomery County areas, as a business correspondent, I can tell you, they hold their own. But a lot of that is spin off from government business,
mm-hmm.
i.e. The military mm-hmm. and the biotech areas. But, look, you're almost damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Yes, that's a good phrase.
And the other part of that is this idea that you can't forget Baltimore. And we saw that in the riots. And what happened? The governor came in and he did what he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he does enjoy some popularity in the city. He's opened up some recreation centers.
Mm-hmm.
He's opened up some health centers. And he's given some money in lieu of, the Baltimore unrest. But at the end of the day, people are going to measure this governor by, pocketbook issues.
Yeah.
Did my income increase?
Before we go to the phones, let me ask you, Ronnie, about this idea. I saw the governor after the riots handing out food over in Santan Winchester. He was touring Gilmore. He was at North Avenue and Pennsylvania mm-hmm. Avenue. He does, as Charles said, he does enjoy a certain amount of popularity among the citizens of Baltimore. I can't speak for legislators, but among the citizens, they've seen him be present.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So give me your thoughts on that.
Well, here's the deal. So what I'm interested in understanding is, one, if this red line issue was such a big concern for Baltimore residents or the legislator, why, I think another brother said, it was not a good move. What I'm not understanding is, if he is so invested in Baltimore, and this was something that appeared to be a serious issue for Baltimore citizens, because we do have one of the poorest metro rail systems in the state, given our population. We can say that most people won't use the subways. It seems like the light rail, thank you, is geared towards bringing your county people into the city for particular purposes. It's not really necessarily a commuter kind of arrangement. So what's the rationale for not doing it? And I get that, I'm just focusing on roads. But to me, that's insufficient if you say you really are about supporting the infrastructure of Baltimore City. And as you said, this is a business center. You have a lot of commuters. You have a lot of citizens who don't have transportation, who use the public transportation as their means to get back and forth to work. What's the reason for not even offering anything for it? That's my question.
Hey, Anthony, before you go to college, can I jump in there for a second?
Yeah, real quick. Mm-hmm.
I think, we need to look at, we have two big lines on the table. We have the purple line and the red line. And I think there's something there that's different about them. Purple line was saved and it's going forward because Montgomery County and Prince George's County had to step up to the plate and provide funding on their own from their end.
But Eugene, Baltimore wasn't even given that option.
Exactly.
A big part of Baltimore is that the driver for the red line, largest state center. I like to see it in the fact of you had business interests in Montgomery and Prince George's County driving discussion on the purple line. You have public sector driving discussion on the red line. And, it's almost as if, you have one end saying, hey, we have development going on. We need this. And you have the other end saying, hey, we want to do this in the hope of development.
Eugene, we got to get to these callers. But do you think that's a weakness on the behalf of the legislators in the city of Baltimore?
I absolutely think it's a weakness on behalf of the legislators.
And I don't get the logic.
I think folk got very comfortable with the O'Malley administration pretty much just getting whatever they wanted, regardless of the price tag or if the funding was there, if it wasn't there. They got a shock in November.
Folks, we have Charles Robinson with us from MPT, from the Maryland Republican Party, Eugene Craig III, and from Morgan State University, Dr. Ronnie Ellington. We want to hear from you. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Jason. Jason, thanks for calling. Welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Good morning, family. This is Jason. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. Good morning.
I had an opportunity to speak to Senator McFadden, on who actually sits on the Transportation Committee. And one time he told me that the subsidies and the amount that Maryland spends on public transportation is so overwhelming that the system would never be profitable, that we're always going to be subsidizing public transportation. He said that an average ticket that we pay $3.40 round trip to Annapolis should actually be $12 to $14 per trip, not per round trip. So we're over subsidizing public transportation, and I really feel I really applaud the governor in suspending the Red Line project, because we really need to be looking at smart transportation and even in some cases looking at smart job growth and bringing some of these jobs to the communities. If you look at some of the things that are going on in other countries, they bike to work, they moped to work. In a lot of cases, their infrastructure doesn't allow them to invest in these big public transportation projects like a lot of major cities do. I feel that we should be going in the direction of some of these other countries, looking at bringing the jobs and the smart jobs and business parks and technology parks and, you know, job parks more closer to home, and bringing the resources more closer to home so that people can walk, moped, encourage more bike lanes. You know, these are smart transportation moves and smart growth. Instead of investing in something that you're always going to be subsidizing, you're always going to be paying pensions and insurance for, the cost of transportation and fuel constantly goes up and insurance goes up. So it's a losing proper a proposal when you're investing in something that's not going to eventually pay off for the state. You're always going to be subsidizing it.
Jason, so, I got to get the rest of these callers in. Thank you for putting that on the table. Anybody want to respond to that? I think it's very interesting that... Yeah, go ahead, Charles.
Well, first and foremost, let me suggest that most people in the metro Baltimore area know that most of the jobs are either in Anne Arundel County or Baltimore County. We look at the new construction of the Amazon facility out there, the Dundalk Marine Terminal. The only way for, other than if you don't have a car to get there, is by transit bus. Now, Secretary Ron has said that he wants to relook at how the transit system in Baltimore works, because it is it's reminiscent of actually the time when I used to ride the bus. I can tell you.
Was that a long time ago, Charles?
That was a long time ago. But you know, it's. I think the caller makes the point, an exact point, that, you know, our subsidies as it relates to transit doesn't give us the kind of return. And that was one of the reasons why Prince George's was selected over Baltimore, because of this idea that these stops along the new Purple Line would create, if you will, a financial bonanza for developers. The case was made in Baltimore, but it wasn't very clear. And I think someone mentioned earlier that, you know, it was an if and a wish.
Let me get some more of these callers in. Eugene Craig III is with us. Dr. Ronnie Ellington and Charles Robinson, 410-319-8880. We got some tweets in. Tom tweeted in, "It's not forgetfulness, it's malicious intent," he says, about the governor. Higgins tweeted in, "He believes in the trickle-down economic model. Ehrlich of the enrich the counties and hope the city doesn't rot," as he chokes off transportation. That's two people's perspective. 410-319-8888. Dan's on the line. Dan, welcome to the Mark Steiner Show.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, very good. If I drop out on my cell phone, don't worry about me.
Be careful. Go ahead.
Now, the first thing I want to say is the most important thing to consider before everything you're saying is, these are very critical years, this being 2016 coming up and 2020 for the Republican Party. They right now have in Governor Hogan, a Republican who is positioned in probably one of the greatest strongholds of the Democratic Party in the entire country. So you have to see yourself first, where do his actual efforts lie? I don't want to say loyalty, but where do his, you know, intentions lie in regards to what he wants to do for his overall party? Because this, quite frankly, Maryland has been a stronghold for an incubator, let's say, for many Democratic and African Americans who want to propel themselves to the higher office. It sort of structured for that. So him getting into this area can potentially completely upset that for the foreseeable future and reposition or leverage a way for the Republican Party to get more power. That would be, then would be a long time before they forgot to see again. Having said that, in regards to transportation, I think that the issue of transportation is always a very contentious issue because what Maryland really needs is an extensive, thorough transportation system that would allow people to get from basically anywhere within the state to any other place within the state and to connect in order to support the jobs, support the job growth,
mm-hmm.
support community growth, and sort of reverse a lot of things that are happening with certain neighborhoods, including the community of Baltimore. So what I think is that the governor, I don't know that he actually wants to support the red and the purple. I think that he sees exactly where they are in Montgomery County and the surrounding, Democratic stronghold there. And he can pretty much let that stuff die on the vine as a bad idea. That would linger for a long time and look bad on all the people that support getting those things going. Quite frankly, there's a lot of good existing infrastructure.
Uh-huh.
It's a matter of a lot of resistance still from a lot of communities, not wanting everybody to be able to go from any one community to another.
Dan,
public transportation.
I want to get my guests in to comment on this. I think you made some very good points. I want to first go to Eugene and then to Dr. Ellington and Charles. Eugene, give us some of the political insights. Do you think that redistricting, do you think that positioning Maryland as a more purple state, is that on the mind of this Republican governor? He's in office at a very critical time.
Absolutely not. From a political standpoint.
Okay.
If that was the case, the governor would simply, ran through and, march on to 2018, win in 2018 and draw the lines himself. But we're at a point in time in our country right now where if you look at Arizona, where if you look at Florida, where the Florida State Supreme Court just threw out their map, the U.S. Supreme Court just threw out the Arizona map, our governor is actually calling, when it comes to drawing district lines in 2020, an independent commission to do it. Now, the way the population is set up, even probably with the independent commission, it probably will move.
There's going to be some problems.
From deep blue to like light blue, but it won't move to purple or like pinkish. Just because of the way the population is.
Dr. Ellington.
But you will see probably a more fair map than the one that's drawn right now.
And yeah, and to imply that there is no political move for a politician to me is like a fish in the water. I just can't even begin to say.
Well, from the perspective of the district lines being drawn in 2020.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
let her finish her thought. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm not in anybody's head and I don't know what the deal is, but I know that for Hogan's political survival and his party's political survival, I know that that's on the table in decision making. Now, how it plays out, I don't know. But to assume that there is no concern for that in these decisions is just naive, in my opinion. So I'm not saying specifically this decision is driven by I'm going to make this purple and I'm going to redistrict in certain kinds of ways. But to assert that there is no consideration for it, I just can't align with that. He is definitely thinking about positioning himself, the state, and he's a part of the Republican Party and seeing how these all can work for the next election. I'm clear that there's been some talk about that.
Charles Robinson, let me ask you, we only have a couple of minutes left, but Ehrlich is said not to have learned the lessons, therefore lost a second term to Governor O'Malley. It's a Democratic state, but how can Governor Hogan position not just the party, but position the state? Because there are a lot of conservatives. Hogan won almost every jurisdiction in the state when he was elected governor. There is some possibilities for growth for their party and for conservatives in the state of Maryland.
Well, there. Yesterday there was also a meeting in Annapolis where a Lloyd Governor Rutherford met with a group that is looking to redraw the map, congressional map, mm-hmm. in the state. And part of that comes from the ill-configured districts that include the Western Maryland portion where it was annexed with Montgomery County, as well as I think it's the John Sarbanes district that extends from all the way up in Pikesville all the way down to Anne Arundel County. It looks weird. Let me just tell you that.
Wow.
Well, you know, one of the judges actually called it a pterodactyl.
And that was said not only by Republicans, but it was said by Democrats. And there was an effort to get the redrawing out of the hands of the politicians and move it into an independent commission. I'm kind of in favor of that because I think, unfortunately, you know, there's some political payback, and I think it was pretty clear. And in fact, a judge ruled that one of the districts was drawn illegally and made them redraw the district. As it relates to the political of whether or not Governor Hogan learns the lessons of Bob Ehrlich, I think it comes down to a real simple idea. You got to talk to people.
Yeah.
And that was one of the problems that the Ehrlich administration had. It was kind of like a lot of edicts that came down. And I think a lot of people were not happy with that. But remind everybody that there is a sleeping giant in the state that didn't turn out during the Hogan election. People talk about the Baltimore metro area that didn't turn out and the low turnouts both in Prince George's and Montgomery County. You know, the state is blue in the middle and red on the end.
It really is.
It is.
We're going to be talking about this for some time. I really appreciate you. Eugene Craig III, he is the third vice president, vice chair, rather, of the Maryland Republican State Party. Thanks for joining me, Eugene.
Appreciate it.
Associate professor of mathematics education at Morgan State University, Dr. Ronnie Ellington. Appreciate you being here.
We didn't even get to talk about the school funding, but that's a whole nother story.
Another show.
I was waiting for that.
Political and business correspondent for Maryland Public Television, Charles Robinson. Always great to talk to you and get your insight, Charles.
Great to talk to you, Anthony.
Appreciate you. Right. Folks, I'm Anthony McCarthy sitting in for Mark Steiner. You're listening to The Mark Steiner Show here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. We have to take a very quick break, but don't go away. On our way to the break, we're hearing One Nation Under a Groove by Funkadelic. George Clinton of Funkadelic was born on this day in 1941.
Just to dance our way out of our constriction. Gonna be freaking up and down the hang-up alleyway with the groove I only got.